My name is Gail, and welcome to our Unity Center for Positive Living this nice, bright, and sunny March morning. We've had crocus in bloom, but I didn't look to see if any daffodils are blooming yet out front, because the crocus were brave and came out early. I have, it's a hellebore, its common name is Lenten Rose. That plant was sending up its little buds in January, and the stems got kind of long, and then they went like that, and I thought, oh no, but it's up bold and brave again with all its blooms. I just love that plant because it's so early. Yeah, I don't know how I can do it, but it does it, which is great. So, onward with our agenda, and I'm not going to do very well without it. So, with everybody's help, I'm sure we'd do fine, but there's plenty of pages up here. No, yours is right here. I won't mess it up. I promise. And these are numbered too. So, 1, 2, 3. I think I've got a page from another one. We'll figure it out. Anyway, insight for today from our daily word. I see my life clearly. The Apostle Paul saw clearly and taught regularly that coming into Christ's consciousness transforms our view of everything, asking, has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? No matter how today's events may unfold, I am never overwhelmed. As I deepen my connection to the Christ mind within, I see beyond worldly appearances to the spiritual truth that underlies everything. My spiritual journey begins with my awareness of the divine power that is God. Infinite divine love is so vast, so unimaginable to my human mind, that I am in awe of its power within me. I see my life clearly. From 1 Corinthians 2, 9, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the human heart conceived, what God has prepared for those who love Him. And let's remain seated while we open with Surely the Presence. let's stand for our welcoming song for when Eileen leads us in page, whatever that says. Okay, that's why we have a different speaker today, and I think it'll already become quite obvious. Joanne, have you heard anything more about Derek and Hope?
No.
Okay.
Thank you, Eileen.
We'll introduce her again. So let's join in our unity statement, which you'll also find in your program. Let's say that together. We believe in our oneness with all life and the power of love. We teach universal principles and values as taught by Jesus and others, revealing the one God presence. We practice prayer, meditation, and service to be conscious of our oneness in God. So please stand for our song of joy, which once again is what it tells you on the board.
343.
Well, my reading of today is once again from the Law of Attraction. This is written by Esther and Jerry Hicks. It has to do with Abraham. A lot of this may be going over your heads. I don't know. I hope you can get something out of it. We do have Abraham meetings as a part of the church here in some ways on the fourth Wednesday of the month. And if you are curious about learning more about this sort of thing, good to come and see.
Can you, real brief description of what the Abraham and Esther and Jerry Hicks is about?
Well, get involved. it's Esther Hicks is channeling Abraham, which is just a sort of a channel thing. You can may or may not accept that, but what comes out is pretty, makes good sense to me.
Okay.
But anyhow, I can feel better right now. People often complain that it would be much easier for them to focus on something positive if it were already happening in their life experience. They accurately acknowledge that it's much easier to feel good about something when something good is always happening. We certainly do not disagree that it is easier to feel good when noticing things you believe are good. But if you believe that you only have the ability to focus upon what is happening, and if what is happening is not pleasing, then you could wait an entire lifetime because your attention to unwanted things is preventing wanted things from coming to you. You do not have to wait for a good thing to happen in order to feel good. For you have the ability to direct your thoughts towards improved things no matter what is currently present in your life experience. And when you care about how you feel, you are willing to pivot and turn your attention toward better feeling thoughts. You will quickly become positive, deliberate transformation of your life. Things that are coming into your experience are coming in response to your vibration. Your vibration is often because of the thoughts you are thinking. And you can tell it by the way you feel, what kinds of thoughts you are thinking. Fine good feeling thoughts and good feeling manifestations must follow. Many people say it would be so much easier for me to be happy if I were a different place, if I had a different relationship, if my mate were easier to live with, if my physical body didn't hurt, or if my body looked different, if my work was more fulfilling, if I had only more money. If the conditions of my life were better, I would feel better, and then it would be easier for me to be thinking more positive thoughts. Seeing pleasing things does feel good, and it is easier to feel good when a pleasing thing is there. Obviously for you to see, but you cannot ask others around you to orchestrate your pleasing things for you. Expecting others to provide the other perfect environment for you is not a good idea for many reasons. It is not their responsibility to feather your nest, and it's not for them to control your conditions that you have created around you, and most important of all, you would be giving up your power to create your own experience. Make a decision to look for the best feeling aspects of whatever you must give your attention to, and otherwise look for good feeling things to give your attention to, and your life will become one of increasingly good feeling aspects.
Can I just expand on who Abraham is? It is the collective consciousness of all our inner beings, the eternal part of us that will has always been and always will be. Promises never to leave us alone if we volunteer to come in here in physical form. And it's just here to help us clarify the human experience, right, Jack? Make life easier.
Or elephant line of
basic metaphysics.
Basic metaphysics.
Basically, that's what's being taught.
Yeah.
What you see is what you get.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
I've lived up the Lincoln Creek Road. I grew up there. And it's 15 miles into town. And in my younger years, I thought, oh, here we go again. I rode the school bus for 12 years to school and worked in town in the summers and didn't really always appreciate the ride. Now, every day there's something different along the way. And it's really a challenge. The big challenge was the Friday night that it snowed. That was my biggest challenge recently. But I knew I would get home. And obviously it felt good to get home. There was maybe 6 inches of snow by that time. But my perspective has totally changed from the early days. And the kids at school, I'm still subbing at school, you're old, they tell me. I said, it's only a number. Because they're trying to guess, and they guess some of the nice little numbers. They tell, oh, that's a good number.
Tell them they're absolutely correct.
So one of them, I think I told when I left Fortsbury, I think I gave them a math problem to figure it out, and they thought I was still that same number. And I said, oh, that's a good number. So if it never changes, it's all right. So our meditation song, you may remain seated for that, please.
Thank you.
once again into your program. If you will join me in the affirmations. I am the love of God in expression. I am truly thankful for all of the good I already experienced. I am growing more prosperous with every day. I am healthy, active, whole, and happy. I am always growing and expanding into the fulfillment of my potential. And I am at peace, knowing everything I need comes to me in the perfect time. So we did the traditional Lord's Prayer last week. So let's do the progressive Lord's Prayer this week. You'll find that on a half sheet inside the front cover of your songbook. Our Creator, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, I am. I am thy kingdom come. I am thy will being done. I am on earth, even as I am in heaven. I am giving this day daily bread to all. I am forgiving all life, even as I am also all life forgiving me. I am leading all men and women from temptation.
I am delivering all men and women from error. For I am the kingdom, I am the power, and I am the glory of God in eternal, immortal manifestation. All this I am.
She can prepare a talk for us on short notice. So please welcome our relatively recent member. Now I did all that and her name almost slipped my mind. Please welcome Eileen.
Oh, welcome to the All Eileen All Day Show.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems to me that every time I agree to do something, something else comes up that needs to be done. So here I am yet again. So today I had to take a look and say, what is it that I can talk about with like 24 hours notice? I can talk about myself. I can talk about myself for a long time, but I won't spend too much time talking about myself today. So I do want to take a look back at our daily word. So our daily word today, it says, I see my life clearly. So I do. When I look back, I mean, hindsight's 2020, right? And I can look back at my life and I can see all of those moments that led to this moment of me standing here before you today with 24 hours notice to figure out what I'm going to say. And so that particular piece stood out to me. And also, our daily word today talks about transforming Christ consciousness and allowing life to unfold without being overwhelmed. So that was the moment that I needed to kind of take a deep breath and say, there's nothing overwhelming about standing here in front of you today. I've been doing it for a few months now, and I'm feeling okay about it. I do have one minor disagreement with today's daily word. It is written on today's daily word that my spiritual journey begins with my awareness of the divine power that is God. I believe that spiritual journey, that mine, began decades before I was ever born. So I'm going to tell you about my particular journey. And I think I need to do this. Otherwise, my hands are going to fly all over the place. They're going to fly anyways, but at least this way I can move because I need to move, all right? So we're going to start with the fact that I was born to be Catholic. And I mean that. I was born to be Catholic. There is no doubt about that. So when we take a look back before I was ever born, you have to understand where I come from. My grandparents, they're very interesting creatures. So my maternal grandmother, my mom's mom, was actually a novice at a convent in Seattle. She was a third grade teacher, and she loved her students. She loved her students with her whole heart, and she wanted nothing more than to have children of her very own. So before she ever took her final vows, she spoke with her mother superior. Her mother superior said, "You can serve God by going forth and having children." So that's what Charlotte did. She went forth and she had 11 children, right? She had 8 boys and 3 girls, all right? Now, about 10 years later or so in our timeline, my paternal grandfather, my dad's dad, he was studying at a monastery in Mount Angel, Oregon. And he also loved children and wanted to have some of his very own. So he had a similar conversation. He goes to the father there and he says, "I would like to have children. I want to deepen my soul." And he's told a similar thing. "You can go forth, you can have children, raise them in the faith." So he did. He went forth and he fathered 12 children. 11 of them survived, 8 girls and 3 boys. Okay, so this is an interesting coincidence, right? So we fast forward to the 70s, my parents meet by chance. You know, they've got siblings that are of similar ages and whatnot. They marry, and I come into the world. I was born to be Catholic. How can I not be Catholic? My grandparents were studying to serve God in the highest way possible, right? My parents were good little Catholics. They were married in this delightful little church in Silverton, Oregon, the same church that I was baptized in, that I attended and was part of Christmas pageants and Halloween get-togethers and Easter egg hunts. And it was a glorious childhood at St. Paul's Parish there in Silverton, Oregon. I was born to be Catholic. If we'd have stayed there, I have absolutely no doubt that right now today, I would be sitting at a mass at St. Paul's Church in Silverton, Oregon, thoroughly enjoying whatever God had for me there. But that's not where my journey was taking me. So my family, due to some, we'll say financial difficulties in the mid-80s, we relocated to Lacey, Washington. Left all that behind. I had attended Sunday school with my cousins. There are 7 of us that all graduated the same year, and that's on my dad's side alone. My mom's the youngest of 11, so most of them are older than I am. And that's okay, they have kids my age. Life is good, all right? So we ended up here, and my parents did what they could to try and find a spiritual home for our family. It didn't work out. We just couldn't find a place that had that same warm family feeling that we had gotten at St. Paul's there in Silverton, Oregon. It might be the fact that half of the parish we were related to that might have had something to do with it. But my mom will say to this day that it was Father Parker, that he was like no priest she had ever experienced in her life, and he was an amazing, amazing man. Side note, he later left the church and married a woman that he had been giving marriage counseling to. And last she heard, he was working at a zoo. Still a wonderful, wonderful man. And he made Catholic Mass a great thing. Now, we ended up here, my parents could not find a place where we could go. So, sadly, within a year of my first communion, and my first communion was a beautiful day, I got to wear a brand new white dress covered in lace. I got to walk down the center aisle of the church carrying the banner that my mother had lovingly made for me and light the candle that was made at the very monastery that my grandfather had studied at. I still have that candle. It still has the most amazing vanilla smell to it. And it was handmade by monks with beeswax. It's amazing. And it still has the gold crosses and the little studded beads that my mom put on there for me. It was a good day. And so I have those things and I take those memories with me. And so we couldn't find a home, a spiritual home, and so we didn't go. 8-year-old kid, I didn't miss it much because it wasn't the same anywhere where we had tried to go, and my parents weren't finding what they needed to, and so life just kind of went on and we started doing other things. Now, my spiritual journey doesn't end there because there are things that I needed, that I was lacking. So when it comes down to it, I began, let's say my parents divorced and I made some really bad choices in middle school. And then I met some friends. There was like 8 of us. We were a pack of middle school girls. All right. And there were a couple of them that went to a local Mormon church. Now there is nothing that middle school girls like more than a dance, right? A reason to get dressed up and go and try and get the boys to look at them. And the Mormon church, they have dances. I mean, talk about a way to hook in the young people, right? So they would have a dance about every month, about once a month, one stake or another. They called them stakes. I don't know, some days they called them churches, and other days they called them stakes. I cannot pretend that I fully understand the way that the Mormon church is organized, okay? So I'm sorry about that. And I'm going to wander back and forth, and poor Tom there is going to have to keep moving that camera.
That's okay.
I'm sorry, dude.
We're good.
Okay. So, 13, 14 years old, we're trying to attract those boys' attention. So we pushed the boundaries on the dress code, and we went to the dances. And I started thinking, any church that's going to let me dress up and come dance, I want to be a part of that. So I went with my friend, and I attended a couple of services. And something just still wasn't quite right for me. So it was a short-lived stint in Mormonism. The next year, my friends had all dispersed. We had gone to different high schools. So 8th grade had ended. We sang a song. We had a graduation. And we all went to different high schools because this one, her mom married and they moved to Spanaway. This one decided she was going to go to the alternative high school. This one went over here. We had moved again. I lived in 16 houses by the time I was 18, so we had moved a lot. So we had kind of all dispersed. And I met a new friend my freshman year of high school. Somebody like nothing I had ever met before. She had gone to the Christian private school all the way up through 8th grade. And she drops down into the public high school as a freshman. I found her quite intriguing. And she went to church every Sunday. I mean, if you're going to a private school and your parents are paying for that, you are going to services on Sunday. So I went with her to her church. And I thought I had finally found whatever it was that my soul was seeking. So I went with her. They also had great things for young people. We had field trips and we had Bible study. We had a lock-in. They let a bunch of teenage kids get locked into a building overnight. Now, I had made bad choices in middle school. I wasn't making the same bad choices here. That was a church that was wrong, right? We're not going there. So, I did, however, meet a young man, and I was, you know, kind of seeing him. And here's what happened. I was thinking this was a great place to be. The people were warm and welcoming. I felt like I belonged. And all was right in the world. Well, one of these lock-ins, one of the youth people, I can't think of the right word right now. I don't want to say he was a youth minister. He was more like a youth group leader kind of guy. He was kind of young. People thought he was cool. Well, he came over to talk to me when we're all getting our sleeping bags settled on the floor, and he wants to know about me and what brought me there and so on and so forth. I made one detrimental mistake. I said to this adult man, I'm Catholic. He proceeded to tell me how wrong that was, and how wrong it was to be Catholic, and how that people who were Catholic wouldn't go to heaven, and that you could only go to heaven if you were a true Christian. Now, I'm left going, I was taught that all people who believe in Christ are Christian. And are you telling me that my grandma mom, who is the most delightful person in the whole wide world, is not going to go to heaven? Who are you to tell me that my grandmother is not going to heaven? That my grandfather, who I unfortunately never had the pleasure of meeting because he passed away the year before I was born, he didn't go to heaven?
My mother talks about him like he's a saint. That man went to heaven. Whatever heaven might be, whatever you might think it is, he is there enjoying it. So, this did not last for me. This was clearly not my spiritual home. This was not where I needed to be. So, once again, I'm on the search for whatever it is that's right for me. Now, a couple years pass. I've met a young man. I am a junior in high school, and I have my first daughter, right? So I've got this beautiful baby girl, and I'm still trying to figure out what's missing in my world. Now, just so you know, I married that man. We're still married today. We've been together for over 20 years. He's delightful. He's wonderful. He's not into this whole church thing, and that's why he doesn't come here with me. But what he said to me yesterday was, well, if it makes you happy, then it makes me happy, and that's all that really matters. I was like, okay, good to know. So, I found myself back in a Catholic church because it was comfortable to me. It was familiar to me. I walked back in at 17 years old. The service was still the same. They sang the same songs. They said the same things. And I tried really hard to make that fill my soul and fill my spirit and make it feel like that's where I belonged. I tried really hard. I sang in the choir. I joined a Bible study group. I brought my daughter a few times. But let's face it, I had a child out of wedlock. I was 17 years old. I was struggling to finish high school, and I didn't fit in. So I moved on. And a few years later, by divine appointment, I found Unity. And so this is what happened. I had been dabbling with tarot and all things of the occult for years. I was fascinated by it. I thought it was really cool. So my mother-in-law, because by this time I had married that wonderful young man, my mother-in-law called me up and she says, Eileen, they have a tarot class at the college. It's one of those continuing learning things. You want to do that with me? And I said, yes. Yes, I do. Talked my mother into it too. So my mother-in-law and I had all signed up for this tarot class thinking it would be great fun. Turns out only 4 people signed up for the class. The 3 of us and some gentleman I never met. So the instructor, she called each one of us and said, the college has canceled the class, but I'll offer it out of my home. And I went, oh, that sounds cool. So we agreed to attend this tarot class, and I met the most interesting woman of my life. Okay? I met Tara Morgan. Haven't seen her now in years, but she was like nobody I had ever met. She was confident and spiritual in a way that left me in awe. She talked about her church. She talked about things I'd never heard of, like Reiki, you know, and all this spiritual stuff. I mean, I had gone to I don't know how many churches, and she was talking about things I'd never heard of. So finally I asked her, I'm like, so what church is this that you go to? Because this is sounding good. So I walked in to Unity of Olympia on Mother's Day in the year 2000. At that point, I had a 4.5-year-old daughter. Actually, she had already turned 5. Yeah, looking back. And I had a little one at home that was almost a year old. And I was still looking for what it was that I needed to fill my soul. And I walked in the door there, was greeted with a warm smile, was handed a flower because I was a mommy. And I sat through a positive, uplifting, and inclusive service. This is not something that I had experienced anywhere that I had been yet. I knew that I had found what I was looking for, a place that was warm and welcoming, that felt like a family, a place that was inclusive, did not judge other religions or paths, because that was a huge one for me, that honored all beliefs And there was a level of, there was no level of exclusivity. Exclusivity. There we go, that's the word I'm looking for. Because we're all worthy. We were all welcomed, and we were all loved. Yeah, this was good. And this was the moment where my path became a path of Christ consciousness. This was the moment when I got to take a look around and realize that I was part of all that was. And that was the piece that was missing for me. That realization that little old me mattered somehow in this universe. That without me, without my spirit, without my soul, without my presence, something would be missing in the world. Not just in the lives of my children, not just in the lives of my parents, but in the world. That was huge. Now, does it stoke my ego a little? Sure, it does. But it made me feel like my life was worth something. I became totally involved. I volunteered in the bookstore, I sang in the choir. That's a theme, right? I served coffee before and after service. I became the volunteer coordinator, which proved to be a little bit much for a young lady in her early 20s. Yeah. I was home. My girls and I attended regularly for like 4 or 5 years. They went through the youth programs. And then things changed a little bit. There was an unfortunate interaction. There was a woman there that I thought we were really good friends. And she started talking about how I could leave my husband and she could make me happy. I backed away, and I backed away quickly. And sadly, I left my spiritual home. I had been on a search for what felt like a really long time. So it was pretty disheartening. But I went on the search again. We moved to Rochester, so we were a little bit farther from Unity of Olympia, and I started to look around. I tried the Unitarian Universalists, I tried the Presbyterians, the Methodists, I went and checked out the Mormons again, I attended a few more Catholic masses. It's an exhaustive search to find a spiritual home. The sad thing is that I did come in these doors at one point. But you were lacking the peace I needed for my kids. And that hurt my soul. As much as I loved walking in the door and having that same feeling of warmth and acceptance and love and everything was perfect and wonderful for me, it wasn't going to work for my kids. And my husband by that point was complaining that church took a lot of family time away from him because he wasn't willing to go. So I settled in at home. I raised dairy goats and chickens. I planted a garden. We had a delightful home. I went back to college. I got my degree. I started teaching. My children grew and they left me. They do that. They leave, right? So my children left me. My husband and I sold the home that our children had grown in. The goats went away, the chickens went away, the garden went away. I'm left with my husband, who adores me beyond all reason. I like him too. I like him a lot. And I was left once again with this, who am I, where do I belong, what am I gonna do? I saw a new physician. I decided I was gonna check out that whole naturopath thing. And she used words that I had only ever heard in a Unity church. She used phrases I had only ever heard in a Unity church. And in a rather tearful session, she says, Eileen, you need to repeat after me. I am worthy of love. I am worthy of love. She said, no, you gotta mean it. Okay. I am worthy of love. I am worthy of love. I am love. And that was the moment where I went, wait a minute. I've only ever been one place where we talk this way. That's what I need. She says, Eileen, you need to sing. Oh, you're right. I should sing. That Sunday, I walked back through the doors of this little church. And I sang. Oh, I sang my heart out. felt wonderful, I felt loved, and this time, everything I needed was right here in this room. And it was good. So, here I am today, right? There are lots of other things that brought me to the moment where I'm standing here in front of you. Things like speech class. That would be a big one. But I am here in front of you today, and I'm fiddling with my papers. There we go, there it is. And I have some things to wrap up here. So I walked through the door and life was good. These days, I sing, I shout, pray, and work with the Spirit. I work to obey the Spirit of the Lord. I feel wonderful, for this is a glorious day, and it's going to stay that way. I am walking my path with Christ in the garden. I walk my path sharing my journey with my brother and wayshower, and my journey is my own. And each of us have one. We each walk our own path. We see our life with clarity and an awareness of the divine power of God. This is the gift that Unity gave to me. All right? So, with that, I've made some alterations to today's fasting and feasting for Lent for our meditation. All right? So please, join me. Plant your feet firmly on the floor, grounding your energy. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath in and let it out slowly. And again, in and out slowly. Feel your body relax. Allow your mind, your spirit, to focus on the sound of my voice and your breath slowly in and out again. Know, deep in your soul, God is love, and you are one with love. Love fills your heart and blesses this moment, blesses this life. Breathe in love, feel that love deep in your spirit, and then exhale love into the world. Know deep in your soul, God is peace, and you are one with peace. You are peace. You are calm and serene in this moment, in this day, in this week, in this life. Breathe in peace. Feel that peace deep in your spirit, and exhale peace into the world. Know deep in your soul that God is strength. You have strength of body, strength of mind, and strength of emotions. You have strength of spirit, of soul. Breathe in strength, feel it deep in your spirit, and exhale strength into the world. Know deep in your soul that God is life, and you are one with that life. You feel the life of God flowing through you, a mighty healing, cleansing, renewing stream of life. Breathe in life, feel it deep in your spirit, and exhale life into the world. Know deep in your soul that God is wisdom, and you are one with that wisdom. Your mind is illuminated. You know what to do, and you do it. Breathe in wisdom, feel it deep in your spirit, and exhale wisdom into the world. Know deep in your soul that God is light and you are one with light. Light shines in and through you in this moment, in this day, in this life. You see your way clearly. With one deep breath, you see your way back to this day, this moment, this space. With one more deep breath in and out, you slowly return your awareness to being in this space with me. Opening your eyes, ready to experience the love, peace, strength, life, wisdom, and light that you are. Amen.
It is now time for our offering. There are two containers. The silver one is for supporting our church, and the copper one is for our outreach programs. Our offering prayer is located inside your program. Let us say this together as we hold our offering in our hands. Divine love, through me, blesses and multiplies all that I give and all that I receive. The morning offering. Together, we bless these gifts and send them forth to heal, bless, and prosper. They are evidence of our faith and belief. They do good work in the world and return to us, multiplied abundantly, and so it is. Our healing prayer. If you would like to focus our collective group healing energy for someone, just call out their name or hold them quietly in your hearts.
Johnny.
Beloved Mother, Father, God, we ask for the highest and greatest good for our brothers and sisters and endeavor to see them through your eyes, knowing all is in divine order. Amen. Our prayer of protection you'll find on the back of your program or on the wall. Let's say that together. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is, and all is well. Thank you, Susan, for being our greeter, and thank you, Jerry, for being our reader. And thank you for our musicians and our speaker. And let's join hands for our peace song.
In perfect harmony.